Ramble.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, we're recording.
Whoa.
Whoa. Rainy on the ones and twos. Coming in hot.
Fingers crossed that it's all okay, but I think it's fine.
Yeah.
There we go.
Miles is under the weather today. We got Rainy in the booth. She just suddenly started the show on us. It's exciting.
I love it.
Right. Also, Rainy, you're going to have to advice that'll go for Rainy at the end of this.
Advice that'll rain down on you.
Well, I just heard Miles is processed, which is halfway through the episode, think of it.
So. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so just be ready.
Come back to
You're
us.
Already
but
prepared.
Even more exciting than Rainy, we are joined in the studio by very special guest, one of the preeminent food eaters of YouTube, competitive eater champion
of America,
One
of the best in the world.
Yeah, you're up there,
Mr. Matt Stoney.
Hey, yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. It's so exciting.
It's always
to
weird
you.
With the little like the titles or whatever, because there's competitive eater, speed eater. Is it America, global?
The people's champion.
We'll get into it. But yeah, I mean, it's competitive eating has become a global thing. So haven't been international in a couple of years. I want to get back traveling the world.
What is your preferred title?
Matt.
What would you say? Slayer of dragons. Breaker of chains. Eater.
Usually
of
competitive
hot
eater.
Dog.
It's nice and easy.
Competitive
it's
eater. Simple. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Eater of worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're here because we're doing a 4-1 where we're going to take you down. We're going to eat more hot dogs than you somehow.
Hey, after yesterday, you know, after training you guys, like, I can't figure it out because some of you were like all nervous and then you got more into it. And like, I'm genuinely excited to see what's going to happen today.
For those who do not know competitive eating, what is it?
It's competitive eating. you eat competitively against each other and whoever eats the most usually walks away with the trophy and or, you know, prize or something. But, yeah, it's just whoever, you know, it's a very grassroots type of thing. You know, like everybody's like, hey, at a barbecue, who can eat the most watermelon or.
Right. Because everyone has kind of heard of like the county fair pie eating contest, kind of a local thing. But this is like a global scene. I mean, you said there was one event that's like the Super Bowl of competitive eating. What's that?
Yeah, the hot dog, the 4th of July hot dog eating contest. And that's how I believe it started. This was before I was even born. But I believe they just had a annual hot dog contest at the Corner Surf in Stillwell at the Nathan's right there, Coney Island. And
iconic.
Winner got like free hot dogs for a year. And it was just, you know, something going. They would eat like 15, 20 hot dogs every year.
The irony, I'm sure, is that once you win that contest, the last thing you want is another hot dog.
Never eating it again.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't vouch for those guys. I mean, I hot dogs are pretty good. You know,
okay.
I can eat hot dogs year round, but... No, I mean, and yeah, it's really blown up. I mean, even in, you know, I've been doing it for over 10 years now, which seems like forever, but even the short time that I've done it, you know, just seeing competitive eating grow, become more recognized, more mainstream, more people are getting into it and having fun with it. It's grown like crazy over the past couple of years, for sure.
Yeah, it really has.
I think a lot of us first gained awareness of competitive eating with Kobayashi winning the hot dog contest in, what, 2001? yeah, and I mean, I remember seeing a documentary about it. It blew my mind, and the method that he does, where that everyone now does, where you remove the hot dog from the bun, you eat them separately. You won this contest in 2014,
2015.
Yep. And how many hot dogs did you eat?
Oh, that year I did 62.
62
in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes.
Hot dogs in 10 minutes.
That's very impressive.
That was that was a good year. It was one of those surreal moments, you know, hear people talk about it, but it's like, it definitely didn't register for a few hours. Like driving home, I'm just like, what just happened, you know, and then even for a few days, it's like, damn, that just happened, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
wow.
Crazy because at that point I was 5 years in, Joey Chestnut, he's been winning ever since, but, you know, he seemed like an unsurmountable mountain. You know, he'd win every single year. He'd win by a landslide. And you know, people just like, hey, he's just that guy that's gonna win every year. And it took a couple years to get him, get up there, but the belt never changed hands since Kobayashi from Joey. Yeah. And then to take that title, wow. It was crazy because, you know, obviously, you know, I look up to Joey.
So 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes. I'm so curious to know about like your prep and your training and everything. And we'll get into your life and all this. But like, did you know that you could hit that number? Had you ever hit that number in training? Or was it a surprise even to yourself when you won with that?
Usually training numbers are much higher.
Oh, no kidding.
See, Coney Island's tough. It's July 4th.
It's hot.
Coney Island is hot. It's humid.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody ever, like, people always walk, oh, I got 40 this year, and then they do, like, 29.
That's surprising. Wow. I would have thought that, like, the competitive atmosphere would make you push yourself harder, but I didn't think about the elements.
Right. You're used to doing it in your own space. You know where everything is here. Things are maybe just a foot farther away, or it's a little hot.
Yeah, I think it's nerves, too, because obviously the event itself is gigantic. You know, there's like 20,000 people standing in front of you. They're screaming, they're yelling. Oh, you got judges. The introductions take, you know, a long time with all the ESPN stuff and everything. So usually for a practice, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm just like watching videos online, whatever, playing games, whatever. It's like, oh, hour away, hot dogs, time to really get focused. But this is like, hey, you got to wake up at like 7 a.m., get all your stuff ready, get on the bus at 8 a.m.
Whoa.
And I'm guessing you're not eating before this.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just like I said, you know, earlier, just coffee and water, just something very simple.
Do you have any pump up playlist that you're listening to on the bus?
Okay. This is something that I've seen over the years because whenever we all take a bus ride to Coney Island from Manhattan, I always get a kick out every year because that was me the first couple years, 8 a.m. in the morning, you're listening, you got your whatever pump up music. By 12 a.m., you're just like you already, like your adrenaline's already been exhausted a little bit. You're feeling a little fatigue. So yeah, I mean the secret, and because you start so early, is just calm, just take it easy, just zen. Do whatever, you just be zen for like, you know, a couple hours. And then 11 o'clock, the women are coming off the stage from their contest. All right, now it's time to pump it up, get the adrenaline pumping.
Oh, well, the contests are divided still. It's not everybody at the same time. It's still men versus a women's bout and a men's bout.
Yep. Actually, the first year that I competed was the first year they split it up. So that was 2011.
I love the idea of just being zen in order to eat a ton. It's like to eat the hot dog, you must be the hot dog. Be in a casing. Be simple. Be shiny.
Squirt ketchup on your naked chest.
Just listen to your breath. Just
nestle between the bun of life and rest until life is ready to put you through its jaws.
How many hot dog related pieces of memorabilia do you have? You have like hot dog statues, t-shirts, hot dog, like phone case.
Not a ton. No, I mean, I've got this like blow up inflatable hot dog that we did for like a shoot or something one time. Yeah. And just kept on to it. It's like, hey, just put it there. Yeah, not too many hot dogs. You know, usually my fridge is filled with hot dogs. So
hot dog shit.
I got enough real ones. I don't need fake ones lying around.
Have you ever ridden in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
I have never ridden.
No,
they not invited you.
Because I eat Nathan's hot dogs.
That's true. Yeah.
They should try to sway you.
Sleeping with the enemy.
Basically a brand ambassador. What about a hot dog versus sandwich? Where do you stand on that debate?
Oh, is a hot dog a sandwich? Yeah. Oh, you're getting controversial, Ned. We're about to make headlines.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
If you're not comfortable answering,
No, I'm going to answer this. I'm going to answer this right because this is, hey, the hot dog is a sandwich because a sandwich is a category. Hot dogs aren't categories. Ooh, so what else is a hot dog if it's not a sandwich?
Wow. You heard it here first, folks.
You know, he's the pro.
It's meat between two pieces of bread.
Isn't a hot dog a sausage?
Fuck.
No, but a sausage is just the meat part.
Yeah, but...
But what's... The sausage.
So you're saying
is a sausage.
So a sausage sandwich.
Yeah. Would a sausage roll be a sandwich?
What are you talking about? A hot dog's a sausage. It's just the sauce. That's just the meat part.
No, you're out of line, Keith.
I don't know.
You're out of line.
This man is a world.
Just saying.
This is controversial. This is like an age-old question.
Saying hot dog isn't a category, and I do think it's in the sausage category.
No.
Right?
No.
You make it the same.
Well,
way.
I mean, a hot dog's a category of like meat, but
hot
like
dog.
A sandwich. Pizza, burger.
It depends if we're talking about hot dog as the
meat.
Whoa,
you just said burger. Is burger a category? So is a burger not a sandwich?
Ooh, no. Got me.
I didn't think you aren't expecting hot dogs.
A burger is definitely a type of sandwich.
Yeah, definitely a type of sandwich.
I'm more okay calling a hamburger a sandwich than a hot dog a sandwich. Personally. But we're never gonna come to a middle ground here. That will always be
the country is just so divided right
just
now.
Just as the bun is split.
You think the hot dog is the David S. Pumpkins? It's its own thing.
It's its own thing. Because if I were to invite you over for sandwiches, you would not come expecting hot dogs. You might even be disappointed.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I didn't want that. I wanted a sandwich.
Moving on, BuzzFeed 2016.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry, but actually, I have a interesting question. Perhaps before you discovered competitive eating, what did you think your life would be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Because when I started competitive eating, I was 18 years old. I was just out of high school, going into college.
Wow, so you actually are at that life deciding sort of
age. Yeah. So I did a few years of college. I was doing a lot of like human body stuff, biology, anatomy, physiology. Took a few nutrition courses, all the prereq stuff as well. So I was all science guy. That's kind of when YouTube and the competitive eating stuff really started to take off. So I never really got to that point where I was like, this is my trajectory
right.
other than competitive eating, which is kind of crazy to think about.
That is crazy. It's also a little bit funny that you had sort of nutrition-based courses and then you ended up as a competitive eater, because I imagine most nutritionists would say, oh, that's probably not the best for you.
Well, yeah, it was roughly at the same time. And I would ask the instructor every once in a while, just like, what do you think about this theory about like the way your kidneys work and like how you can handle more salts and stuff? And she'd be like, I don't recommend it. And I'd never get like good answers and stuff, but it was always fun to like, poke the bear a little bit.
What does happen to your body when it ingests that much like sodium?
Well, just to give context here, Keith is our resident eats a lot of fooder man.
Mm-hmm.
He eats
we were talking earlier,
and he fully devolves into just
a broken man. Because I do like marathon eating, which is a little bit different.
Yeah,
and I don't even competitively marathon eat.
Recreationally.
Thank you, Rainey. Recreationally marathon eat.
By the end of those videos, I usually come in at the end or I see him afterwards. He is stoned.
Fucked up.
He is fucked up. Yeah. Like, it literally is like he just
a food baby, food coma. Yeah. It's not fun.
Full delirium. And then, the amount of salt in my body, I normally like pass out and drink so much water and still don't pee and then feel better by the next
You just
evening.
Pee out like orange.
I don't even pee.
That's terrifying. We gotta cancel this series.
And then I'm really bloated because the amount of salt in my body makes me absorb all that water because I'm drinking a lot of water. And I also like forget to drink water when I'm shooting Eat the Menu.
You're also full too.
Because I'm full.
You don't want to keep drinking. Yeah. You're thirsty. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm eating a lot of like carbs because a lot of fast food is a lot of carbs. So if I'm very full of bread and then I'm drinking water, I'm very, very full. So yeah, for me, that's like, it is unhealthy. It's funny because when I had like I get some acid reflux and I had a really bad spout of it when I was shooting a lot of Eat the Menus in more close proximity than I do now. And when I went to my gastroenterologist or went to one, he was like, so what is your diet life? I'm like, well, I'd rather not say. This is definitely my fault and I don't feel proud of it. But made me think, do you have like a general practitioner or a doctor?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't since I recently moved, I found a new guy in Vegas, but the guy who I used to see in San Jose all the time, he always loved it. Like he never endorsed it. He'd take my blood test, maybe do some EKGs every once in a while, just, see everything's working. Cause that's important to me. Cause part of getting good at something is also knowing how to manage it reasonably for year after year after year. And, he's just like, dude, everything looks good, man. This is crazy and stuff. And he's like, hey, even my dentist, he was like the best guy. And he's just like, I was watching you eat that gummy bear and I just couldn't believe it. And, like I was like, oh no, he's gonna break his tooth or something, but you didn't. And I did chip my tooth once and he filled it and it's never popped out since.
Wow.
So nice.
He's a good guy. But
I just looked up the how many calories is in one plain hot dog. It says 240.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you do a lot of caloric based challenges on your YouTube. I think it's great because you get some like amazing numbers. You'll like take down 20,000 calories or something and it's very cool. And I love your channel. I've watched a lot of it. And I also think you do a really good job of the pacing of your mukbang content because you do a lot of speed ramps to get through a lot of like the middle, whereas some people like literally it's the actual 40-minute duration of eating, but you do a good job pacing it to feel, I don't know, just like more like entertainment. And it's not like having to watch you actually spend 30 minutes slowly eating Oreos. You sort of speed ramp it and stop for jokes and stop for moments. And it's really well done.
I fell in love with competitive eating in YouTube like at the same time and kind of ramped up at the same time, too. And I love content creating ever since I started posting stuff. But I'm sure you guys can attest to it too. Like the pacing of the video and like conveying the emotions, the thoughts that you want to get to the audience is like paramount. And I've tried to work with some editors. It's been tough because that's one of the biggest things they don't understand is how to pace an eating challenge video. And like certain parts drag long enough so that the audience feels the gravitas and it's like, oh, this is tough. But then it's not just a whole big speed ramp the whole time. So, I mean, making content interesting and watching people enjoy it is like equally up there with one of my passions always.
What are some of your favorite challenges that you've done? Anything that's particularly memorable? You were talking about Peeps yesterday.
Okay, that was one of my favorite records because it's just Peeps are, everybody knows Peeps, and it's like 255 is an insane amount of Peeps.
Peeps are gross. And yeah, I can't believe too,
right?
You
I mean,
did
I like them, all right, but you know,
I can like barely eat one.
They're marshmallows. To yeah, me,
this but, was this was in 10 minutes.
5 minutes.
Five?
No.
How did 255 Peeps in 5 minutes? Did you dip them in water?
Are you swallowing them whole?
The Major League Eating, they deemed the contest 10 minutes would be too much for Peeps. Wow. Usually sweet contests is they're shorter.
Wow.
You're just swallowing marshmallows. It's
yuck.
It's weird.
Kind of swallowing them whole if you're eating that many that fast.
Yeah. I wouldn't say whole, but like one bite. Like they came in the sticks of five. They didn't separate them. Uh-huh. So you're just like bah,
bah, bah, that. Okay, bah. So that's the thing that blew my mind the most. We were training yesterday, and I have a thing where I need to really chew my food in order to swallow it. It's really mental over physical for a lot of it because I found that in order to speed up, like I need to swallow before I'm ready, and I can do it. Like if I take some water, like it's kind of like swallowing a pill. But that's not how we've evolved to eat food. We chew it up, and there's a reason for that, because if you don't chew up your food, you risk choking. Like, there's an evolutionary reason why we do that. So you have to trick your mind and say, it's cool, man. I'm going to swallow my food before it's ready, and I'm going to be fine, and I know how to do it. But like that, I cannot explain how hard that is for me and was for me yesterday. And, you know, we're doing the competition today. I think that is my biggest personal hurdle. I don't have a question. It just blew my mind. Yeah, I mean,
in our practice yesterday, you clocked in at a minute and a half, 90 seconds to eat one hot dog.
Yeah, which is about 60 seconds longer than the other two gentlemen sitting here.
Well, but in a real world scenario, that's pretty fast.
It's pretty fast.
That's pretty fast.
You know?
I also like, this is my whole life. I cannot chug water. Like when beer chugging was a thing.
Oh.
I have to fill my cheeks like a chipmunk and then slowly drink. And it's just stupid. I know that's wrong, but that just, my mind has never been able to just open up my throat and glug, glug, glug. Mm-hmm. So suffice to say, I do not think I will be a competitive eater. I also have a tiny mouth. There's just no room in there. Can you puff up your cheeks for me real quick like a chipmunk? Like how big can you? Not that crazy.
It's not about the mouth size.
I was saying,
the throat girth.
The contest today, usually what happens is like, what's in the mouth counts at a contest. It's the easiest way to judge. And
So Keith has a leg up.
So at the end, I could just shove a whole hot dog in my mouth and just hold them in my mouth?
I've never seen somebody do three hot dogs, but
I can do it.
Go for it.
I'm not sure if you've seen the IGTV hit, how many things can we fit in Keith's mouth? But the answer is a lot. We just shove grapes and pickle.
Why did I miss that one?
Yeah, well, you really missed out.
A real banger. But yeah, he's got a big old mouth.
He's got a big old mouth. I kind of loved the training yesterday. It was very fun.
I could tell. It was really fun.
And I could see a world where I would like do one, not expecting to like win, but to go be a part of,
really train for it.
Yeah, like train for it and try to do the Coney Island one, but just to be there and see what it's like.
It'd be cool.
Because I think it's cool.
Maybe they have a celebrity version.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, the way they have celebrity golf tournaments.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Celebrity hot dog eating.
Yeah, just grab like it's me, it's Robert De Niro.
Yeah, Keith and I started out, our first trial was 24 and 28 seconds, respectively. Mm-hmm. And then we improved to 19 seconds, which was very exciting because it's like,
that's
our
crazy
technique got better. We shaved off a couple seconds and I can totally see
you guys were hyped. Like you finished at the same time, just gave yourself double high five, sent water
our
flying everywhere.
Soaking wet with water and then we high five.
Yeah.
It was kind of hilarious.
We did, I won't spoil who won, but we did an office contest to see who else would be the best at this. And we had six people from our office who were all like, I want to try. And they were all incredible, and frankly everyone was better than me. I am the weakest link in the office. I'm the worst person to choose for this video, but that's my job. It was so fun to watch, and one person in our office, their first try was basically as good as your
guys' 20 seconds, which blew me away.
So I can't wait. I mean, that's the real wild card.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying this whole time, part of doing collabs and stuff and like teaching people, it's so fun to see people's like first experience because you get like the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
You get people that cannot even think about a soggy bun, and then you got people that just go ham at it and just make it happen.
I should add for context, so 19 seconds was like your guys' personal record right now. When Matt did his example.
His demo,
it was, I believe, 6 seconds. 6 to 7 seconds.
That's all right. Yeah.
What's the fastest? That's
all right for you?
I'd say, I mean,
that's a little slow. That's my warm up.
That's crazy.
When I'm, you know, when I'm in eating shape, I'm at the contest. Usually the first minute I shoot for 12, which is one every 12 5 seconds.
Oh,
wow. So, and usually the first hot dogs like are the fastest because you have an empty mouth too. So 6 seconds. I mean, cause you know, it's one hot dog and, but I mean,
my goal is 10 hot dogs in 5 minutes. That's what I'm hoping.
That's a good amount. Yeah.
My goal is 3.
Yeah. If we keep at a 20-second pace, we could theoretically make 15. But I don't think we'll be able to keep it.
I think it's...
Just got to get in a rhythm. Yeah. It's so critical. Get in a rhythm.
It's like a conveyor
Don't think
belt.
About it every time. Just find what's working for you and just keep doing it over
like
and over.
Like a little, you know, like just little packages being shipped out into my belly.
Just them going down the track.
It's a factory.
Going down the
factory, just the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's okay. You've done lots of competitions. I know you said you're not in... eating shape right now, probably because you said more focused on YouTube content right now. But how long do you think you can competitive eat? Like what age does a competitive eater retire?
Yeah, your jaw gets too slow.
Well, it's tough because there's a few anomalies out there that prove that you can do it for a long time. There's a guy from Las Vegas, actually, Richard LeFevre. He's an old time competitive eater,
love
like pre Kobayashi. He's like 60 plus years old. He can still eat like 30 or 40 hot dogs. Like, he beats a lot of the guys.
Whoa.
That, like, and he shows up at the contest. He makes money. He gets, like, you know, he places on the podium. He's a beast. Richard LeFevre. Wow. Props to him. And like, Badlands Booker. He's pre-Kobayashi days, too. He's killing it on YouTube recently. He does chug videos, mainly. But,
oh, I've seen him.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's like, the best dude ever. Like, the nicest guy you've ever meet. And, he's been doing it for over 2 decades now, and he's having a fun time. He's going strong. He doesn't compete at the highest level, which is probably key to like longevity as well.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's tough because on one hand, we're doing crazy stuff, but on the other hand, we're doing something that everybody kind of does, you know?
eating. You do the extreme version of a normal activity.
Yeah, which is kind of the weirdest sentence ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not like we're doing something that's completely like our bodies weren't made for this like ever. So... I mean, there's definitely a shelf life for sure. I don't think I'm at that point. Like, I definitely, like, it's definitely in my scope to, like, it's like, hey, like, you know, I'm just going to, like, really grind for, like, a year. Just see where I can get back again and stuff and, like, you know, really try to compete at the top tier level and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm getting older. You feel slowing down. You can't get as many exercises in. The diets, the weight doesn't shift off you as fast and all that. But I think I got some years in me still.
I think so. I mean, I think there's something great with you that is, people may be listening and be like, well, I'm not a competitive eater. This is totally like interesting, but not applicable to my life. But I think there is something very applicable to everyone in what your life, right? Like you were not 5 years old going, when I grow up, I'm going to eat a lot of food.
Sure.
You found this opportunity and you pivoted with it. You embraced it. And we have similarities in our life too. Like none of us expected to be on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We had passions and then we found what the universe was supplying us and we found how to marry those two things. So it's like you see the opportunities that are out there, you find what you're good at, what you enjoy, and then you apply yourself to it.
Yeah, and not to get too philosophical or anything.
Let's
but
do
like,
it.
Like,
get philosophical.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, if you're pursuing what you like to do, I feel like you could do that longer, just naturally, just everything involved. Just you like doing what you do because your body just is, your brain, your body and everything is geared towards that. So it's just more natural and, you know, it's just like less stress, you know, you sleep better at night, all that type of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, maybe.
I'm going to get you guys a quick check in today. We're doing a competition in a couple hours. We've been preparing our bodies. It's right now about 10 a.m.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting very hungry. I have not had enough my normal food intake this morning.
He's the guy in the bus that's sitting there getting all amped up. It's a little early to get hungry yet.
But like not now. I'm excited to eat hot dogs. Justin, I'm about to get real cranky.
So I guess, let's check in on our preparation.
Yeah.
And maybe you can tell us how we're doing. So Ned, your morning was what? You just ate nothing?
I ate a smoothie.
And that's rare for you.
Pale. And yeah, no, I normally, my normal breakfast is like 3 eggs, piece of bread, big piece of bread, butter.
And the smoothie was what? Just kale?
Ugh. just kale. No, it was pretty good smoothie, actually. Ariel makes great smoothies. It was kale.
Love you, honey.
Kale, like fruit, strawberries. You could say a kale strawberry smoothie.
But no protein. Okay.
Just flew right through me.
I mean, that seems like, you know, according to you, that's the method.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yesterday I was saying, you know, don't change up your method too much because, you know, you want to feel good today.
I'm feeling increasingly bad.
Yeah, I'm starting to get hungry. I'm not starving yet, but I typically don't. I don't always have breakfast. But today I did have 2 24-ounce glasses of celery juice.
Oh, God.
Celery and ginger. Yeah.
Which is your standard routine.
Standard routine. Actually, I never do that. Even half of...
Probably
even
not that much.
A quarter of that normally makes me poop like crazy. So
celery juice is just nature's little evac.
Yeah. It's in LA, we call it a juice cleanse, but it's really a laxative. And I drank a ton of it. And we have been having regular scheduled stops
all aboard.
At the port.
Check it, check it, choo-choo.
Yeah. So that was my approach. I was like, okay, because last night I just had like normal food. We had pizza because we had people over. I had some wine. Had a cocktail in there.
Is drinking before good or bad? I specifically didn't drink wine last night because I was like, I need to not be bloated. I need to
like it wouldn't be
cleanse my body.
Sure, sure. I mean, I've been told in the past like it's good to get loose the night before.
Okay,
get the nerves out. But
I know me when I'm actually hungover, I'm insatiably hungry. Mm, now I'm not hungover. Okay. I didn't get drunk last night. I had a couple drinks, but like
there's still time.
There's still time. I could get. I mean, maybe. Has anyone ever competed just totally hammered?
We did ask you also yesterday.
Yeah.
There's been a few like 2-day contests, like they have 2 small contests in the same weekend, and the next day people show up and they're just they show up at the last minute and they're just like, I'm here. And it's weird because I mean, I think from somebody who like studied the body a bit and big into like, you know, not big into fitness, but just nutrition in general, like I know alcohol is not indicative of good performance physically. Mm. So have I had a beer the night before a contest where I did good? Yeah. You know, but like, would it be the optimal? Probably not. I think, you know, like we've been talking about this whole time is like a lot of this is psychological, like, you know, just being mentally like whatever makes you not only wake up the morning of, but step onto the stage and be like, I am ready. I'm totally here right now. Whatever that might be, you know?
Wow. We asked you yesterday, if you ever get stoned for the competition, because we're like, oh, you get the munchies, that's great. But it was the same answer. Like, no, you're not focused. You don't care as much.
Sure.
You're not eating. You're competitive eating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So people can get a sense at home. Run through just a couple of different foods and then say like how many that you could eat in a certain time period.
Crunchy tacos.
Those will cut your roof of your mouth.
Okay. Let's see. 10 minutes. Crunchy tacos, like Taco Bell size.
Yeah.
Crunchy is tough.
soft shell.
I want to know crunchy. I also want to know what is the math going through your head right now? Like, what are you thinking
about?
Okay,
so I've done a taco contest. It was an 8-minute. It was corn tortillas. So they weren't, like, they were dry.
Okay.
But they weren't hard. Crunchy, so they weren't cutting your mouth up. I think it was 103 in 8 minutes.
Whoa.
So I'm trying to like, hey, how much harder would it be if they were crunchy?
Crunchy. Yeah.
I had to work with
that would be tough. You can't smush them up.
Which is, yeah, a big deal.
How about...
55.
Oh, wow.
All right.
So pretty
good. Crunch really matters.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. How about cheese pizza?
Cheese pizza.
New York about it.
18-20. And I'm thinking like 3 large pizzas. That's a good amount of food.
Yeah. Wow. And when you eat a slice of pizza, are you like shoving it into a ball and boom, like what's your approach into a pizza? Are you doing the classic fold?
Yeah, the fold. Okay. It's kind of like the hot dogs. You know, you try to find a good bite. You know, like sometimes like maybe like flip in the top a bit because the skinny part, you flip it in, then fold it.
I was going to say, because pizza's not the same size
Make
as you go in. You got a
rectangular
piece. Yeah, so those first couple bites, you get nothing, or you know.
Yeah.
But the crust, so tough.
I don't think there's a consensus out on like what's the best way to deal with the crust. Because seen some people, they finish the whole pizza, leave the crust, and then they like dunk the crust and do all this stuff. That's never worked out for me because then you just have like this like marathon of tough chewing. Whereas if you just integrate the crust as you're going, it's kind of like balances itself out. Mm. You know,
what about, okay, so pizza's a type of food, though, where there's a regularity. Sometimes you get those little bubbles. Sometimes the crust is bigger. It, you know,
thick crust, Sicilian.
Yeah. Well, but I even mean pie to pie within a competition. Is there a way that they homogenize? Maybe that is that why the hot dog is such a popular staple?
Because it's factory made.
Yeah, I mean that could very well be because I mean, you know, Major League Eating, who does these contests, you know, they try to keep it legit, and all the competitors, they want it to be fair game. Like you don't want to walk on stage and be like, oh, this guy's got this X Y Z. So yeah, hot dogs are really
dogs.
Good. Hot dogs are really good. You know, because they're very standard. I'm just trying to think of a contest that's not standard.
What about like chicken wings?
Yeah, so that would be like those runs the gamut.
So chicken wings are actually it's very easy because they do it by weight. They just give you a giant bowl with like 40 pounds of wings with the bones and all the sauce. They weigh it before, they weigh it after. So it's very simple. It's like all the wings aren't the same, obviously. But at the end, with enough wings, it's probably equal at some point.
Now, how do they decide how much of a wing has been eaten?
Well, it's right? just by weight.
Just by weight.
How many pounds you consumed.
I know, but even then, there is different bone density across different wings. Right?
Shit.
A wing bong versus the flap they're different. Like, right? One is a much thicker bone. One is two thin bones.
But you're not eating the bones, at least.
Right. But I'm saying, like, if you threw the bones in the bowl.
Well, but it's still by how much weight is taken away.
It's all just one big bowl. Okay. So it's how much.
I assume it's like if you come in with 40 and you leave with 30. 20, that means you ate 20 pounds of chicken meat.
Yeah. Or bone, if you wanted to.
Yeah. I guess I'm saying if I was served more bone dense than you, I would technically potentially eat the same amount of meat, but the bones left would be heavier bones.
No. Well, two things. First off, I think what you're getting at is one, like the drumstick versus the flap. The contest, they only give you flaps.
Oh, okay.
So it's all across the board. It's the one with the two. And it's also the technically most, like, it requires the most technique. So it kind of makes it more interesting.
I would be so down for a wing.
You got to, like, challenge. That's pop. You got to, like, snap the bones out, right?
And then the best way to do it is I was showing somebody the other day, but you pinch on one side and you just push it.
Oh, wow. Because
the pressure of your two fingers gets all the meat out from between it.
Oh, so you just push like an umbrella. Break it off.
It's like an umbrella.
Whoa.
And then with the other hand, you grab it, you just pull it off.
Oh, wow.
Wow, incredible.
That's incredible. Wait, so how many wings would you eat in 10 minutes?
So I had the record 1 year. It was 182, I think.
Oh,
No, that was the bacon.
Yeah, that's more than I've ever had.
It was 200.
Oh, you shorted yourself.
Yeah, no, I forget.
182 strips of bacon?
Yeah, that was a good contest.
That's impressive.
That's a good one. But yeah, wings are fun. It was a contest that I stayed away from for a couple of years because like a weight controversy, like do I want to be part of? But Hooters, they held the contest. They always did a good job. It was a great contest. And
good wings.
And it was fun, you know, just getting up there and just doing something different than just like dunking buns and stuff. It was just like technique. Oh, I'm in a rhythm and just. Oh no, fumbling them is
gyoza. I know there's a big LA gyoza contest.
You've done
right?
that one.
One of the best contests of the year. Oh yeah, I mean that was the event that when I first started because it's held at Nisei Week. I'm half Japanese, and so my grandma's a Nisei generation and all that. And I was like, hey, you know, Japanese pride and the gyoza that they make is fantastic. It's the best frozen gyoza. Mm. Like not even.
Wait, what brand is it?
Daily Foods. Crazy Cuisine in some stores. Okay. Some supermarkets.
I gotta go check that down.
Yeah.
Always looking for the best gyoza.
Yeah. Daily Foods or Crazy Cuisine chicken pot stickers. They're the best.
Write it down.
But so that's an event like the polar opposite of chicken wings. Chicken wings are very technical. You're just like focusing on like this technique. Gyoza, they're dumplings. You're just popping them in as fast as you can. It's just like boom, 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 boom. So that's one of those.
Are they served room temperature? Or like a little warm?
It varies. They're usually fairly warm. The problem is sometimes because they're literally cooking thousands of gyoza. It's one of the biggest contests of the year. It's like one of the few contests outside of Nathan's that gets like the top five showing up every year.
Oh, wow.
And so they're literally cooking thousands and thousands because the record right now is 384 in 10 minutes. And so they're cooking so much gyoza. So sometimes they get a little... the dough gets a little
soggy by the end.
Gummy.
Gummy is the best word. Yeah.
Ugh. We did this soup dumpling eating video, and the challenge there was that in the beginning, they scalded your mouth.
They served them fresh out of the steamer.
It was so hot.
It's so hot. But then if you waited too long, it was that gummy garbage. So it was like, oh God, darned if you do, darned if you don't.
How long was that?
Too long.
It was as long. It was a marathon. So as many as you can go until you just give up.
I think first we did a speed limit. Round,
we did a speed
right?
round of like how fast could you finish 50?
Between 8
Eugene
and 15
Eugene did 8
minutes,
and Keith and I were like 13, 14.
Yeah.
Eugene was like, he was trucking it towards the end, right?
He's good.
He was caring at the end.
Scalded his tongue, left it all on the table.
Yeah, Mike Chen can eat.
He can eat. He's a great guy too. Okay, I got a question for you.
Okay.
What's your least favorite food?
Recreation or professional?
Just in life.
Both.
Ooh. What do you not want to eat?
I love that there's two answers though.
The one thing that I...
Yeah, but I want both.
Since I'm half Japanese, got into learn about Japanese traditions and stuff. The one thing that I just cannot understand is natto.
Oh.
Fermented soybeans. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, they're
not
good.
I think it's a New Year's tradition. And I could do a lot of I grew up on sardines and sticky rice, oyakodons and all that stuff. But natto is just so rough. I've tried many times. It just doesn't sit.
Yeah, it's the really sticky,
I don't remember hating
stringy
the flavor,
soybeans.
But it's fun looking.
I'm sure there's things out there that's worse. It's one of those things, I'm grading it. People, generally enjoy it, and it's, not, overall offensive.
It's
not
your thing. I get it.
Yeah.
So professionally. Within a contest.
There's some miserable contests I've done. Tamales was the most painful contest I've ever done.
Oh, fuck.
It was because that year, they changed vendors, which is, never preferred, but whatever, but... They put jalapeno oil in the masa.
Ooh. And delicious. Sounds great.
It wasn't spicy going down because it was into the masa.
Oh,
it was infused.
No.
So it wasn't too spicy going. It was spicy. It wasn't. But man, the plane ride home. I kid you not. I woke up splayed across three seats with milk cartons around me. I had no idea what happened. I was just in so much pain. It was so spicy. It was so bad.
Just
never went back to that
guts.
One. I love tamales. I could still eat tamales, just not competitively.
Blackout milk rage.
Yeah, that was. I felt bad for those flight attendants, but
I bet they felt bad for you.
Yeah.
If you're splayed out on three seats with milk cartons around you, you're not feeling well.
Probably, but probably my least favorite is chili or something. Anything that's super super simple. It's just anything that you hit your capacity in 2 or 3 minutes, and you're just oh, this is unfun. That's why chicken wings and gyoza is they're tasty, but it is a capacity. But Nathan's, the chicken wing contest, I did popcorn earlier this year, Halloween candy last year, just figuring out how to eat candy corn versus M&M's. And it was fun, stuff like that.
So you hit your capacity with your stomach at different times in different competitions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, huh. The candy contest I did, it wasn't even a capacity issue whatsoever.
Huh.
But, like I said, chili, hard-boiled eggs was probably the standout. It's an 8-minute contest. And usually...
You don't have to peel them.
No, they were just, they were all peeled.
Do they do it as deviled eggs ever instead of just hard-boiled eggs? Because I feel like that'd be a fun visual.
Yeah, I'm sure someone on YouTube or something has done a challenge. I've not the professional contest. There's no record for it. But usually you go through experiences, and I'm sure you guys will today too. It's there's a moment in time where this is getting uncomfortable. And then there's a moment in time where I want this to end. This is hey, I hope we're close.
Mm-hmm.
I had that moment. I looked back at the clock. We were 3 minutes into an 8-minute contest.
No. Oh my gosh.
That was the worst feeling. I remember what the clock looked like and everything.
Oh,
it was
wow.
the most, it was like,
what? No.
And Joey's next to me. He's just going boom, boom. And I'm like, okay, boom, boom. And it was.
So do you think we'll hit our capacity today? So for context, we're doing a 5-minute challenge.
Also, it smells like hot dogs in here. They're already starting to cook the hot dogs. I can smell the hot dogs. It smells like hot dogs.
Or will today be more about technique?
So we went with the 5-minute contest. I would have been. It would have felt cruel to put you guys through a 10-minute ordeal, especially if we're going full tilt. which I'll be going. So I expect you guys to be. Trucking for
hell yeah, bro.
Well, I'm gonna give you all three that I can handle.
yeah, but we'll see. I hope you guys. I hope you guys are get a little food baby going on.
Oh yeah,
you could definitely get there in 5 minutes.
Really?
My brother, my girlfriend, they've done hot dog practices just to try it out, and so the math usually is you eat 75% of your food by 5 minutes.
Wow.
Roughly, usually, it depends on the contest, and that even holds true to people who start off. It's just you start getting that esophagus fatigue. You start. getting out of breath. The taste starts getting to you more. So you're just going to slow down. So majority of, you know, the capacity and the more fun, you know, like, you know, the last 5 minutes tradition is like a grind. So
yeah,
it'll be fun today. It'll be quick and fun.
It's where you separate the wheat from the chaff.
When your brother and your friends have done it, what is their 5 minute?
My brother did, I think, 10 in 10 minutes. That was like
that's pretty
eight
good.
Years ago or so. My girlfriend, she did hers last year, I think. And she did 7 in total, but I think she did 5 in 5 minutes.
Okay.
So she's, you know, she slowed down. She's just like, my jaw hurts. I'm sick of these hot dogs. You know, I don't like the taste anymore.
Dang.
But she was trucking it for the first couple minutes. So
wow.
We've been grilling you about food.
the puns never end. I'm used to it.
But, you know, because obviously you are one of the, you're a food champion. But sometimes I'm sure there's other things that you want to talk about. If you had a whole podcast, which we only have a few minutes left, but to talk about anything else that you love and are interested in, what would that be? Or I guess, what are you doing when you're not eating?
Play a lot of games.
Oh, yeah, I play video games or board games.
Like video games and stuff. You know, I just bounce around and do various things. I mean, but I mean, I like watching. I'm not a big sports fan per se. Like, I don't follow teams and athletes particularly, but I like watching sports stuff. Like, the Olympics is going on right now. Like, that stuff, like, I love it. You know, just seeing people push through it, upsets, or even people that were supposed to win just dominating.
Oh, man. Do you think competitive eating will ever make it to the Olympic stage?
I don't think so. Like, maybe if it comes back to the United States one of these years, maybe they'll pop. I doubt it.
That'd be cool, though.
That'd be pretty crazy. That'd be crazy. It's like Tony Hawk. You know, he's like an OG skateboarder. He's not competing, but he's out there doing, like, dude, man, I can't believe skateboarding's gotten this far and stuff. And just, and yeah, it just like stuff like Tony Hawk. Like, I love seeing stuff like that. Like, he's in his 40s. He's still hitting the ramp, doing 5, 720s and stuff. And it's just like,
crazy.
I love seeing people who are passionate about something doing stuff at the top of their game or just to the best of their ability. And it's always fun to watch that.
Yeah, that's cool.
We did a 4-versus-1 soccer video the other day. And on the field next to us was this adorable group of about 30 old men playing soccer. Now, soccer is 11-on-11, so it feels only supposed to have 22 people on it. But, like, they packed it just.
It was four people.
It's just all the old guys wanted to play, and they're like, you know, they still got it. And it just was so cute to me to think, like, oh, you're in your 80s and just going out to do a sport that you love.
Oh, yeah. I mean that's what I love about competition. You know, I take it super, super seriously, but I feel like everybody's got a competitive nature in them, and it's satisfying. You know, it's like, if you didn't compete in any regard whatsoever, like, what, you know, what's satisfying, you know? So, right. You know, it's, you know, whether it's just going out there and just trying to best your friends in, like, a soccer game, old time guys or whatever, or just, I love seeing the passion that people have in this thing, or the interest.
You're an athlete, so you respect other athletes. Like, I don't think people 100%. Think of competitive eaters necessarily as athletes, but listening to you yesterday and today talk about, like, your conditioning and your pacing and, like, knowing what you can do and how you train for in 12 minutes and 15 minute intervals for a 10 minute competition. It's like, you're approaching it like an athlete, and it's very cool. And now it's just been great these 2 days, because when I watch a competition again, I'll have that, like, insider knowledge. So this guy's not keeping the pace. He needs to keep.
Yeah, you have a newfound respect. I mean, because you'll see the contest and you'll be like, I did something like that, and I know what they're going through right now. You could see the look in their eyes change or whatever it is. And now, I mean, hey, just being out here for the past couple of days, just seeing you guys, you know, seeing the different approaches, mentally, physically, all that stuff has been been very fun.
Yeah.
I will say too, so if you've never watched competitive eating, it is miraculous. You should. And if you've ever watched it, you got to see it in person too, because it is like seeing you do it in front of us yesterday. It kind of
way different.
Felt surreal. It felt like I was watching like a glitch in the Matrix. I'm like, this shouldn't work.
Yeah, the hot dog disappeared.
Already done with the hot dog?
It's crazy. See,
that's crazy. Like, so I've never experienced that, because I've obviously been on the other side of the table. But like, so
there's something about just being face to face with it that's
your motor neurons fire in a different way, where you're imagining what it would take to do that. I guess when you're watching it on ESPN or on YouTube, it's like, it's going
it's still
fast,
incredible.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
It's kind of like there's just these numbers ticking up on the screen, and they don't really mean anything to you.
Yeah.
But then you see someone 5 feet away from you gobble up a hot dog, and you're like, there was a hot dog there, and now it's gone.
Yeah, and that's part of the greatest part about not just doing the YouTube videos, but actually jumping on stage at a competitive eating contest is the fans, the audience that comes out. Like the gyoza contest is like my definition of like, so back in, you know, it's at Nisei Week Festival where they have like, you know, the taiko and stuff and all like the ceremonial things. When I started, the audience was like, you know, they're just kind of just subdued. Nowadays, they're just going crazy and stuff. So just seeing people get into the live audience and like, yeah, I mean, the closest thing I could think of is like, you know, go see your favorite artist live. It's just a different vibe. You know? It's just like, it's the same music, made a little change, you know, but like just whatever it is, just the gravasso being there. So,
so gyoza, it's cool is to see. Two bites, one bite per, I mean, two little pieces.
You could just, you could just pop those in.
Usually, just swallow it whole.
Usually towards the end, you got, because like, you know, the throat fatigue. So at the start, you're just like boom, 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 boom.
Wow. You're just taking gyozas like pills.
Yeah, they're slippery little boys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're
slide them on down.
Yeah, they're just lightly pan seared. They make them soft for the contest. They're not crunchy.
Is that crazy to you?
Yeah,
because these two guys are like, yeah, I can do it.
Yes,
but they're oily. Like, they're not dry.
No, but like you just, I just would gag. I don't think I could swallow it. I think I'd just be like, it's just in your mouth.
It took me so long to learn how to swallow pills.
Yeah, me too.
Like I had to train with M&Ms, like mini M&Ms. I had to train as a kid.
You know what I've started doing, because Becky does it and it freaked me out. And I've seen people online react to me doing it because they've seen me take pills and like when I take dairy pills and eat the menu. But I actually put water in my mouth and then put the pill in my mouth and then swallow and then drink more water, because it, you, the problem that you have some of the pills is they get stuck on your mouth and then you like, stuck in there. Sure. But when you put it in a mouth already with water in it, it's floating around with the water and it made it much easier. Just put a little water in your mouth, throw the pill and swallow.
It's like Dunkin' hot dog bun. You got it. Yeah. It's got a mix.
Hard to open your mouth when it's full of water.
Well, it's not full of water.
You purse your lips and you go.
I was all right.
Just like a little. I want all our listeners right now, though, to experience something.
Go Matt find really a pill.
Pointed it out to us about how the first time you eat a soggy hot dog bun, it's just the most wild experience. He loves watching people do it. And I think everyone listening to this podcast and watching our video,
record yourself.
Go to your pantry. Get your phone out. Grab a hot dog bun. Grab a cup of water.
Yeah, if you don't
throw it in the water. I mean, hot dog bun is better even than a piece of bread because it's like more crust than.
Do like a quick two hot dogs to see how fast you. But you have to dunk both the buns.
You got to dunk the bun and just experience a soggy bun. You have never experienced a texture like that before.
And you guys handled like a beast though yesterday.
Some better than others.
I saw the reaction, but you just powered through it.
Yeah,
I kind of liked it.
I also like. I like
made
hot
it
dogs.
Easier to swallow, that's for sure.
And it made it easier to go down. And you could swallow it with less chewing because it was fully saturated.
Truly. And we our buddy Quasi's in the video too. And
he definitely hated it.
Couldn't even do it.
Okay, I have two questions for you.
Hell yeah, right.
Okay.
I have one about kind of life outside of hot dogs. So what do you have in common with your mom?
Hell yeah, Rainey.
What I've become with my mom. I guess the closest thing I could just come up with is a little bit of the creativity type of thing, because she always, as a hobby, kind of did like screenwriting and stuff and doing like little plays and everything. So I kind of do that with the YouTube videos now, just like imagining, oh, this transition is going to go to here and this is going to play out so that the audience gets this up front. And then they're like the tension.
Storytelling.
So I'd probably say that's probably the biggest thing that I picked up from my mom is like the storytelling, the creative side of like making a story. Yeah.
What did she write about? What was your favorite play that she wrote?
She does a lot of things circling around Japanese culture. Because actually, we went to Japan. We all went to Japan a few years back. And, you know, I've loved Japan. It's the best country. She does a lot about just like taking, you know, stuff that's happened in her life and kind of like putting it into this like scenario where it's like playing itself through in like this, like it's like we think of things this way here, but then in Japanese culture they think about things way differently, they approach life differently. So it's like, hey, I have this mindset, but then my mindset's changing because of the things that are going around me. So
yeah, is it sort of like culture, like is it like niceties, or is it kind of like the way you look at life more generally?
I mean, the way I look at it is the most obvious, I think anybody, it's just one of those things that blows your mind, is mannerisms and just the demeanor of like the people and the way that they just view society and, you know, how to act around other people and everything. Just their appreciation for not just other people, but what they're doing, the craftsmanship, the artwork. Like, it's this high level of respect that they have. And that's one of the, you know, I mean, am I, you know, I'm not anywhere in that like nature of like, you know, what they do and stuff, but I it's like, it's admirable. It's admirable. And I love being around stuff that I admire because, you know, you're always trying to get better and stuff.
Right.
Thinking about your upbringing, where do you think you get your competitive nature from?
I'll say my grandma.
Oh yeah.
My grandma, she was, she's always been, tough as nails. You know, she's always, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, it's one of those weird things you just pick up on, you know, a person's personality over time, the way that they, you know, handle situations. And, you know, my grandpa, he was a sociology teacher, you know, smart guy. And he's just, you know, so I learned like he was very like tactical and stuff. My grandma would be the one that's like going to City Hall and just like, you know, just like, oh, like this isn't, you know, but yeah, my grandma, she was always a killer, you know, in the good ways, you know. And she was always very even to this day, you know, she's always like, she was there at the first contest I did, the lobster contest. She's from the East Coast, Boston. So and cool. Yeah, she's flown out to she's gone down to Coney Island probably half a dozen times. And yeah, she's been
and
a
what's
big
her hot dog record.
She's probably put down good two or three on the fourth every once in a while.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, and then my second question is, you talk about kind of competitive eaters who come before you and sort of this like reverence or how they impacted the way you view competitive eating. But what do you want your legacy to be?
Ooh.
Am I getting that old?
Wow.
Rainy's coming in.
Well,
with
when you're finishing up,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What will the legacy be?
Never too early to think about your legacy.
Sure. Yeah,
you really want to.
I think, and, you know, it sounds super cliche, but I think be super, super serious about it. You know, take it seriously, you know, respect, whatever you want to call it, but have fun with it at the same time. Like, find whatever drives you, motivates you. Like, that for me, that was like YouTube and stuff. Like, I love making the content. I also love the grind of competing for stuff, but part of me just love the idea of making it for other people, you know, expanding the audience. For aspiring competitive eaters, just have fun, just push hard, and don't choke. Be safe, don't choke.
Right, literally. Wow. I mean, Matt, it's been so great chatting with you and all of our listeners. Check his YouTube out, Matt Stoney. So many cool videos. You've been doing it for, what, 10 years? You passed the 10-year mark or more than that?
Yeah, 11.
11 years. So lots of stuff to catch up on. Got to go watch them all, everybody. But, you know, and that was great advice to future competitive eaters. But we need some advice from our Miles stand-in today. Perhaps advice that will rain upon you from our new podcast gremlin. That's what he used to call
it's
Miles.
Advice that'll rain down on you. Tune into your radio station. It's advice that'll rain down on you. Everybody get ready, rainy till time.
Oh my gosh, that last line, it kind of rhymed a little bit. And also, I realized I didn't have the song. Like, Miles usually pulls it up on his drive.
We got you.
So thank you. Thank you. Mm. Okay, what's up, Miles Nation? have you ever wanted to be bougie but don't have the funding?
Oh, yeah.
All makes sense so far.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever wanted to go to DoorDash, but your bank account said no?
No. Because they're great deals. Keep me great coming deals, back.
Great deals. We love
them. We like DoorDash.
Friend of the pod.
A lot of times people ask you, like, hey, where do you want to get in life? Like, you know, like that I made it type of thing. I'm like, I just want to be like DoorDash whenever I want.
That's
if I'm feeling lazy, I can get some food delivered.
Okay. Okay. Add guacamole because I want to.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Ned.
Exactly. A little DIY without the doing. Instead of getting guacamole from a restaurant, you can just get salsa and an avocado, no chopping, just pour it in, and then you've got guacamole.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
She's saying her literal advice was to make guacamole with salsa and an avocado.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And Ned guessed it.
This is you're speaking my language.
It's
here.
It's pretty good.
This is what Ariel likes doing.
My tweak would be pico de gallo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not just salsa, like, but pico de gallo.
Then you're going to have a wet salsa.
You're going to have a wet. But pico de gallo and avocado, I mean, that is.
That's guacamole.
And then it costs a third of the price.
Yeah, it's,
and it's
true.
The same thing, pretty much, kind of.
It is. No, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good advice.
That's thank great. You, wow.
You, well, we have to end this podcast because we have to get into the studio and start competing here in
I can really spend a lot
30 minutes. So it's coming up. It's
I'm
happening.
A little upset. I asked yesterday, I said, what time are we competing? And I was told I have 24 hours. And I looked on the schedule. That's not the case.
It's not 24 hours.
I planned my meals the way that I normally eat them. And I'm screwed.
I'm nothing you can do about it. I just got so hungry right now. I'm
you guys
hungry.
Did not ask me my eating prep earlier. I asked both of you. It was a little rude. I know, whatever.
Normally,
whatever.
You don't need a lot of prompting.
That's fine.
Yeah. I just assumed you would talk about it. What was?
I was. Was invited over to the McLean Yang household last night, and Matt fed me a lot of falafel. And I am a gassy monster.
He makes good falafel.
It makes you fart.
You did mention that.
Nope, not on the podcast.
Yeah, just to us.
Just to us?
Yeah. Oh, so nice. Thanks for being a good listener, bro.
I was a good listener.
There's a competitive eater on the circuit. Great guy, Nate Biller. His nickname is Nasty Nate Biller because he makes a lot of noise when he's competing. And I've stood next to him a few times, and I always prefer not to.
So. Oh, so if I'm feeling gassy, I should stand next to you and just fart on you.
Oh, God,
the
whole please
time.
No. Please no.
Ooh. Oh, separate.
Yes, yes, yes.
Get in
it's
your
mental.
Head.
It's a mental yes. game.
Oh, I'm going to fart all
what
over
did I
you.
Do? What did I do?
Well,
so final predictions on how many you think that we can take, Rainey?
I think Zach is going to do an under hot dog. Action. He's gonna somehow come through, not win, but like maybe do better than Ned.
No way. Nope. You're
not
wrong.
Happen.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Very
you're
sweet
wrong.
Of you, Rainey.
Were you listening?
You're so wrong.
Keith is definitely
Rainey was not watching our practice yesterday.
Keith is gonna come in second with 20.
if I can eat 20 and 5, I'm entering a real competition. Yeah.
Matt's jaw just dropped.
Nah, no good. Way that'd I'm eating 20.
And then Matt is going to win yeah. with, but you're also going to PR because it's cool in here.
Ooh.
And it's ideal conditions. The, and there's yeah, the yeah. adrenaline, but it's good adrenaline. Ooh. And you've been calm through this.
He's
so going to
set a new world record today.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Hey.
Hey, we're filming it, so if it happens, we'll
never
catch
time
it.
Better than the better. Yeah. Never been than now, so.
And we'll I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah, well, you lost.
You're gonna lose to Zach, so she didn't.
You lost, right? Shoot.
I think you'll just yeah. I
the
think
mouth
maybe you'll,
feel. I just puke halfway through and get DQ'd.
Yeah, you're too hungry.
I think there's a chance actually today that Ned will beat me, and my reasoning for that is that in the dumpling video he ate his 50 faster than me. Now I ate more than him by the end
right.
of the day.
That's not your talent to speed.
I don't my talent is not speed. My talent is. Duration,
the
endurance
wall is not.
I can push
me.
Through the wall, but mm-hmm. I can't. Go, I have a speed that I normally can't top.
I have a prediction. I think that our mystery player is going to be the best.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would be awesome.
We got to wrap this up, Matt. So thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, no,
thanks for teaching us competitive eating.
Where can the people find you?
It's YouTube, Matt Stoney. Just yeah, it's. No, I got other social accounts.
And Snapchat, YouTube, you said. You have a
yeah, I'm doing the Snapchat stuff. I'm recently on TikTok because it's popping off. But yeah, I'm pretty much
how do you spell Stoney?
Stoney.
There you go. And we're going to keep chatting about nachos is the next one up on Patreon over at patreon.com/tryguys. Join our community, become a Triceratops, help support the show, and get an extra episode each week. Little bonus episode.
Keith, hit us with the official Try Guys theme song.
Here we go. Having so much fun. We're gonna put hot dogs into our mouths. We're gonna smile, and our teeth will be replaced with all beef franks. It's the tripod.
That visual got me.